In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Nothing is as heart-wrenching and hard as joining in a funeral procession. Even harder is to watch your loved one lowered into that narrow earthen chamber, not to be seen again until that great day of the Lord. And the world couldn't care less about your sorrow. Everyone knows that pain and hurt. There's not anyone here who has not had someone ripped from them in death, whether a parent, a spouse, or worst of all, a child. No amount of empty words or hollow forced compassion give any comfort. Everything will be okay, or even it was God's will. Just don't cut it. You hurt and are alone. How easily you sympathize with Nain's doubly grieved widow. First death took her husband, now her son. It's left her alone. You know exactly what that feels like. Look at the world around you. Doesn't it seem like death reigns supreme? Gangbangers shoot each other in the streets. Soldiers die on the battlefield. Men die from disease. And countless babies are murdered within their mother's wombs. Does it not seem that all these things, that death itself, are all part of the plan? By no means. When God created the heavens and the earth and all that fills them, he declared it to be very good. Husbands dying and leaving wives widowed is not his will. It's not his desire that children should die, leaving their parents in never-ending grief and lamentation. It's not his will that man should die at all. Yet you die because of sin. It entered into that very good creation, twisting, corrupting, and destroying, bringing with it the sting of death. Sin makes widows. Sin tears children from their mother's arms. Sin brings sickness and disease, murder and mayhem, suffering, loneliness, and emptiness. Sin brings death. And sinners must die. Yeah. So it is that this young son of Nain, as well as his mother and father, were sinners. They died. So are you. Don't fool yourself into thinking you're not. God isn't impressed with how good and holy you pretend to be. You are dead in sins and trespasses, and you cannot escape it or bargain your way out of it. You are a sinner who will die. But the fact is that death does not reign supreme. For there is another only begotten son of a widowed mother, ripped from her arms in death. Jesus is ripped from her arms, that his arms be stretched out and fixed to the wood of the cross. There was nobody to stop the procession to Golgotha. There was no one to have compassion upon the widowed Virgin Mary, to speak a word of comfort to her, or to return her only son to her. No one was found to halt the bearers on their way from Golgotha to Joseph's borrowed tomb. Jesus, who healed the sick and paralyzed and even raised the dead, was himself put to death. Yet this is the will of the Father. For by submitting to death, Jesus put death to death, taking every sickness and sin, even death itself, into his own body. Jesus defeats it and its satanic overlord forever. Death does not reign, for it cannot hold the one who melts its icy grip by his slightest touch. Jesus lives. He is the Son of God, the Word uttered by the Father himself in eternity, through whom all that is has its existence. Jesus is himself life. He who called all things into being by his word, who formed Adam from the clay, who formed you in your mother's womb, restores you to life and immortality by his creative word upon the cross. Death and the grave can't have you. Jesus comes into direct contact with your mortality to overcome it. He tastes your death, and it's gone. So when the virgin son met the widow's son, the funeral procession stopped, pun intended, dead in its tracks. Death and life contended. The irresistible force met the immovable object. And the victory remained with life. At the word and touch of Jesus, Satan was defeated. The sting of death was taken away. Life was restored to the man, and his mother's tears were dried. Son and mother were reunited. The day of resurrection prefigured. Jesus does this because he is compassionate and full of mercy. No one summoned him to restore the dead man to life. Just as in the same way Lazarus couldn't cry out for help, Jairus' daughter didn't ask Jesus to come, so this man couldn't seek forgiveness and healing. Yet Jesus comes of his own accord. So he comes for you. You didn't invite him, but Jesus comes because he loves and cares for you. He comes because he's so moved by your lost condition that he's filled to the bursting with love and mercy for you. It's for you that he's ripped from his mother's arms. It's for you that he defeats the devil. It's for you that death itself is left impotent and dead. By the death of Jesus, the man from Nain lives. By the death of Jesus, you live. And today, he speaks to you the same words of comfort. Do not weep. I say to you, arise. He stands in the way of sin, death, and the devil. They cannot have you. You partake of Jesus' death and resurrection. When you were buried in the font, he placed his hand upon you and cried out, I say to you, arise. Like Elijah, Jesus stretches himself out for you upon the cross, and so stretches himself over you in the threefold application of his name in baptism, breathing new and everlasting life into you. So rejoice, O Christian, for God has indeed visited his people. Greater than Moses, Elijah, and all the prophets, he is the Son of God come to visit his people in the flesh. As man does not live by bread alone, but by the word which proceeds from the mouth of God. Here for you is the flesh and blood of the Word made flesh. He feeds you the guarantee of your own bodily resurrection in order to annihilate death and corruption and to dry your tears. Jesus lives, bringing you forth from death into life. Do not weep. Death is no longer to be feared. Jesus comes to interrupt funeral processions and easily overcomes them. Death ever recedes at his word and by his touch. Once more declared to be very good, it has no hold on you. So you live day by day, untroubled by death, for Jesus gives you the needed confidence and patience in his word and sacrament. But if you still mourn and grieve for loved ones, then it's also for you that Jesus comes in compassion. He's died not only your death, but the death of all who believe in him. Those who depart in the faith only sleep, awaiting the call of Jesus to rise. His words are not forced, empty, or hollow. His is the voice of God, bringing comfort and consolation, drawing tears, raising the dead, and declaring his love for you. Do not weep. Here in his church is the answer to your loneliness, your comfort and consolation. Here Jesus speaks peace and dries your tears, making you his sanctuary and dominion as he fills you with the fullness of God in holy baptism and in the Holy Communion. He brings you out of bondage and from the strange language of sin, death, and of the devil, from the strange language of unbelief, by the forgiveness of your sins, and by his death returns your loved ones to you, alive, on that day, your joy will know no equal. Yes, you wait. Waiting isn't always easy, but the time is coming when your sorrow will end, when your tears will be dried forever, when dead sons and husbands will be returned to grieving mothers and widows forever, when death will no longer be known. For God has indeed visited his people in Jesus Christ. And as he visits you now in the glory of his body and blood, so the day is coming when he who called you by name in holy baptism will again call you by name, saying, I say to you, arise. Where Jesus is, there graveyards turn by grace into gardens, as the dead are made alive and spring forth in new and everlasting life. And that day comes quickly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.